Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
I am Velocity Child, and every Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with fallen woman, stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.
Part of the awakening process for empaths is to learn how to have a new relationship with your body. And instead of living as a disembodied head or living in terms of fear of your body, it's very important to reorient yourself to the body so you can get more comfortable with it. Empaths need to be in their bodies in order to heal. And what happens to a lot of my empath patients is that they kind of hover a few inches above their bodies so they don't fully inhabit it because their bodies feel so uncomfortable and overloaded. And so as part of this next practice, I'd like you to get used to embracing your body and living in your body in a different way and get used to being in your body. It's okay if your body frightens you or if it feels uncomfortable or if this feels new. Empaths don't like being in their bodies because they haven't learned to find the ecstasy and the bliss that is also in the body once they learn to get comfortable with it. But to prepare yourself for this practice, it's important that you learn to shift from your small self and your old ideas about being an empath to your larger self so that you can see and feel and be in your body in a new way and have new ideas and new conceptions about what it means for you to be an empath in an empowered body. Many of my empath patients are so caught up in the old idea that their bodies are negative or their bodies aren't their friends, that it's time to reprogram that so you can start your journey as an empath with a totally new view of your body, which is essential. Now, for years, I used to hover a few inches from my body, and I never made a full commitment to be in my body. It was really interesting because, you know, I felt that I didn't belong here, and I felt like I belonged on another planet or my family was somewhere else. And so it didn't feel necessary to really commit myself to being in the physical form. And then as I became more awakened as an empath and opened up my intuition, I realized that to utilize my full gifts, I had to be 100% present in my body. As an intuitive, or if you want to develop your intuition and listen to it, your body gives intuitive signals. It gives you messages and guidance. Your body is a temple that houses your spirit. And so it's vital that you begin to look at your body in a different way, more as a friend, more as your temple, more as an intuitive receptor and something to cherish and treasure than the enemy. And with this mindset, you'll be able to view your empath sensitivities in a much different way. But I want to emphasize that it's important that you make a commitment to slowly but surely inhabit your body, and that lets you inhabit the moment so you can be more present and joyous. When you hover above your body or you're just in your head, it causes a lot of pain. And so in this guided practice I'd like to take you through, it will be an exploration of the body and how to shift from your small self, which sees the body as painful, which sees yourself as a victim of being an empath, to more of an embracing of the body and a beginning to finding a comfort level to being in the body so that you can rejoice in it, no, rather than see it as just an area full of problems. And so what this means is that you'll be letting go of old ideas about being an empath and shedding the idea that you're a victim or you don't know what to do, and so you're stuck in this level of suffering, and going into and reprogramming yourself so that you can see yourself as an empowered empath. Now, to begin this guided practice, I'd like you to set time aside where you can have quiet and solitude and really allow yourself to be immersed in this practice of exploring your body and shifting out of your smaller self into a larger self that has more enlightened beliefs about you being an empath. And so first, I would like you to take time out and find a beautiful room or a place where you can just settle down. It's important to turn off the mental chatter as much as you can. And the way to do that is not to force the mind to quiet down, but rather shift channels. Let the mind do its jabbering and talking, but then you take a few deep breaths and really feel the inhalation, the exhalation. Very slow, deep breaths. You want to slow everything down so you can feel more, so you can be more aware of your body. And the breath can act as a form of hypnotic incantation, a hypnotic sensation, to shift you from the jabber of the mind and what Buddhists call the monkey mind, all the thoughts and preferences and fears and worries, into a more silent place. So if you have a thought, my body is painful, or I'm afraid I'm an empath and I can't handle it, just let those thoughts float by in the sky and come back to your beautiful breath. The breath is the sacred prana. It's the life force. It's your sense of power. And breathe in the cool air, and then breathe out the warm air. Visualize breathing in cool air. And breathing out warm air. This was the meditation that the Buddha did when he sat and saw the leaf falling and then felt enlightenment. Breathe in the cool air, breathe out the warm air, and feel the motion of the breath bringing you into your deeper self so you can settle all of your energy within the bounds of your body. Nothing floating outside is coming home to your body, to your cells, to your organs, all your subtle energy settling in the body rather than bolting out of it as empaths often do. And as a way of making friends with your body and developing a new relationship, I'd like you to just be aware of how your body feels. You can start with your toes, wiggle your toes and see the beautiful feeling that that creates, just awakening the feet, the grounding, the toes. What sensations do you feel? Notice in your body where you feel clenching or freedom or relaxation. And then go up from the toes to your ankles, bringing all your awareness to your beautiful ankles. Every part of your body is just gorgeous and beautiful and filled with energy. And when you put your awareness on these parts of your body, you awaken them, which is the point. You want your body awakened. You don't want it numbed and shut off. Then begin to feel how good it feels to be in your body and move your awareness up your legs to your knees. Take a breath. Keep breathing deeply in and out, focusing only on your breath. No cares in the world, just your breath. That's your focal point. And notice how your thighs feel, bringing your awareness up to your thighs. your strong thighs that keep you grounded, that allow you to function in the world. To inwardly say thank you to your thighs for holding you, for allowing you to get around. And then raise your consciousness up to your genitals and the area in your pelvis. This is often an area in women where there's a lot of clenching, a lot of holding, perhaps old trauma in that area. That's all fine. Don't worry about that. Just feel. The magic for an empath is bringing your awareness to these places. By giving these places in your body attention, you're awakening them. You're saying, I recognize you. I'm not turning my back on you anymore. I'm not afraid of you. I'm going to learn about you and love you and embrace you. You are part of me. And to keep breathing, cool air comes in. The warm air comes out of your nostrils. And bring your awareness up to your belly, your solar plexus, and see if you notice any holding there, any tension, burning, discomfort. The belly is the seat of the third chakra, the emotional chakra, that clairvoyants see as the color yellow. It's where we process all our emotions. So there's so much that this chakra needs to filter. And it's so much that this chakra helps us to let go of our negativity, to breathe in the joy. And so as you focus on that, don't be afraid if you pick up fear or other emotions that may not feel comfortable. Just be aware and send these emotions and this area light so that you could begin to soothe and heal this third chakra, this emotional chakra that goes through so much in empaths. We feel so much, don't we? And it's time to have mercy on ourselves and begin to bring awareness to our belly, to our solar plexus, and all the organs that lie beneath. And send it love. Send them all love. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. And then bring your awareness up to your chest and your breasts, your heart area, which is the center for unconditional love. This is the area that we need to focus on so much as empaths, that feeling of unconditional love for ourselves that comes through our heart chakra. The heart chakra, which is seen by clairvoyance as the color green, beautiful color green like the trees, like nature, the green color of compassion. This is the healing energy for empaths. This is why you want to focus on your body. To feel the heart chakra and to get to know the heart chakra every day of your lives, to make the heart chakra your friend so you can be loving to yourself. And that love is like a shower of positive energy going all through your body. This is a place to return to again and again. And even if your heart's been broken, even if you've been hurt, even if you've been let down or neglected, all the things that we humans go through, there's healing that can happen by placing your awareness on your heart. And so, even if you feel discomfort there, keep breathing in and out and feeling and getting to know this area of your being, this unconditional love, so that you can return to it again and again. It's a warm feeling. Let yourself explore. The Taoists call it the little sun. let yourself explore this area. As an empath, you want to return here. It's nurturing to you. I often take my hand and put it on my heart just to recenter myself with this soothing, warm, nurturing feeling that comes from this energy. Take a breath. Keep breathing. Keep being in your body. Keep returning to the body. And then bring your awareness up into your chest and out your arms and in your beautiful hands, feeling each finger, moving each finger, feeling how fun and exciting the fingers are and how they help you throughout life and how you want to connect with your fingers and your wrists and your arms and your shoulders, the shoulder muscles that go through so much stress sitting at the computers and all the stress that we put our shoulders through, to begin to breathe and relax them. And just as you're doing this body scanning, notice where you hold areas of tension, where you hold areas of stress or fear or hurt or panic about not wanting to be in the body. It's all okay. This is just an exploration. The body is a place you want to return to again. And again, you want to give it attention and do it very slowly. Don't ever rush through your awareness of the body. As what we're doing now is healing as well as exploring. Your attention as an empath will heal you. Your attention to the body will heal you. And now bring your attention up to your neck, which is your communication chakra. And feel if you have any tension, any pinching, anything that stops your voice from being free and clear and expressing yourself. Just notice. And if you notice all these blocks, it's totally fine. If you notice constrictions, it's totally fine. This is about bringing awareness, loving awareness to them. And the healing comes as we'll progress. Know how to heal ourselves as empaths, how to let go of old ideas that we may have or old ways of communicating that come out of our throat chakra. We'll invite new ways of communicating in so this area can grow and flourish. Breathe in, breathe out, keep the rhythm continuing. And let thoughts go by like clouds in the sky as you simply focus on your beautiful, energetic, fantastic body. Then bring your awareness up to your head, feeling your ears and your mouth and your eyes and your nose, your beautiful face, and the third eye, which is between your eyebrows, which is the center for intuitive development, swirling purple colors come from the third eye as you tune in. You get your intuitions from the third eye, focusing on that area between the eyebrows, exploring how exciting that you have a third eye. The pituitary gland is beneath the third eye, which enables our bodies to function hormonally. And then bring your attention up to your ears and your head. And feel the spiritual chakra, the top of your head, the white light, the connection to spirit, feel all that. And just know that you are whole and complete. And from head to toe, scan your body visually, inwardly seeing the light from head to toe, your awareness feeling every cell in your body. And know that this is you. This body is your temple. As an empath, you've gone through so much. And you are the one who can make yourself comfortable and let go of old ideas. Some of the old ideas you might want to consider and then release include, I'm overly sensitive, there's something wrong with me. What would the new script be for that? What would it be? It would be, I'm sensitive, I'm beautiful, and I'm proud of being an empath, and I'm going to honor my sensitivities. And so as you're aware of the body and centered on the body, be aware of letting go of that thought. It's an old thought. You're too sensitive. You're overly sensitive. It's not true. Let it go. Whoosh. Let the thought go. And other old thoughts is, I can't be in relationships because I get overwhelmed. An old thought to replace with, I'm going to honor my sensitivities in relationships and find partners who can understand and love me. New thought. Letting go of old mindset, old stories we might tell ourselves, and open up to a new view, totally new view of relationships and how you can flourish in them. Or another old thought is, my body is always sick and I'm always tired and overwhelmed and exhausted. New thought, I don't have to be that way. I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to learn skills that will allow me to heal and experience joy and replenishment and more happiness than I've ever known. That is the reframe. From I'm so exhausted to, oh my goodness, all the possibilities that are ahead for me for happiness, energy, and joy. And so begin to look at your old ideas about being an empath, to reprogram yourself so that you don't hold on to those old ideas and you're open to a totally new way of being. Being an empath can be incredibly beautiful and exciting and deep, and you twinkle and you see things and you see into things, and life is an exploration and your senses open. The new thought is that my life can be that way versus the old way in which I was so tired. And so just know, in this meditation, you can feel your awareness of the body and come back to your heart. The heart is the sense of unconditional love. It's a sense of warmth, self-soothing, healing. The center of your body, the center of the universe that you want to return to again and again, and be open to the sensations of the heart. When you're under stress, put your hand on your heart. You can do this now. Put your hand on your heart and feel the sensations of warmth, opening, love. You're protected. You're loved. Your body is your friend. And when under stress, you could come back to the sensation of unconditional love in your heart over and over again. There is no judgment. There is no criticism. You are whole. You are complete here. And it's the power of the heart that you can return to over and over again to foster your self-love as an empath. The heart needs to be the center of your universe that allows you to reframe old thoughts about being an empath to new thoughts about what an incredible life as an empath you can have, and how you're going to be able to use your abilities for the good and for your own happiness and health, and how your abilities will benefit your family and your friendships, and your love, and your incredible capacity for more and more love throughout a lifetime. That's the empath's great gift, is the deep, deep capacity for love. And so now take a deep breath. Inwardly, say thank you for the experience of being able to feel your body and scan it, no matter what you felt. If you felt some difficult areas, that's totally fine. If you felt some joyous areas, that's beautiful. But say thank you for this ability to feel your body and scan it. And embrace your abilities as an empath and say, I am beginning this journey with a new attitude, with a new face, with a new awareness of who I am. And I am ready to come into my power as an empath. I am ready today, and I vow to protect my abilities and my sensitivities and only be around people and places that can support me and my sensitivities as well. I'm going to protect myself and honor my empathic abilities. And take a deep, deep breath. Feel the gratitude in your own body. And just know you can return to your heart, the place of loving kindness, over and over again, whenever you need to. Take a few deep breaths. And then slowly and gently open your eyes and come back fully 100% to your environment, still feeling your body, more aware of your body than ever, but also 100% connected to your environment so that you could function and be aware of everything that's going on in your outer environment as well. And consider this guided practice, this meditation, as an initiation into loving your body, something you could continue on and on in your journey as an empath. The positive health aspects of being an empath include being able to feel and celebrate other people's joy, compassion, love, and vibrance. You can feel it all in your body, and it feels amazing. This is all good medicine for an empath's body. The challenge of being an empath is that we tend to be emotional and physical sponges that also absorb other people's pain, their actual illnesses, which I'll talk about, called empathic illnesses, and also we absorb their strong emotions, such as anger and fear. And then what happens is that we go on empathic overload and feel tired and ill. In this section of the program, I'll describe what empathic illnesses are and how to combat them. We need to have these skills in order to stop absorbing the energy and emotions of other people into our own bodies. Conventional healthcare has serious limitations when it comes to empaths. I feel this is a travesty because so many empaths are misdiagnosed. Why do they have the serious limitations? Traditional healthcare doesn't have a paradigm to understand empaths or empathic overload with the resulting symptoms. They have no paradigm that includes the subtle energy system. Unfortunately, many empaths who go to conventional doctors are labeled as hypochondriacs or malingerers or hysterics, and they're dismissed, which is totally humiliating and frustrating for an empath to be treated this way. Or else empaths are sent to a psychiatrist like myself for the prescription of Prozac or an antidepressant. I want to emphasize that this is not typically the treatment for empathic overload. Conventional medicine still doesn't realize that the subtle energetic system in the body is real. Subtle energy is the energy that penetrates the body and extends inches to feet around it. Think of the halo in sacred art, the beautiful white light that comes off the top of the head. That's an example of the energy body. Unlike Chinese medical practitioners who work with our energetic meridians day in and day out, an energy that they call Shakti or Qi, conventional medicine does not come from this paradigm, and this is so important for empaths to get when they go to a conventional medical practitioner. Therefore, when an empath goes to such a doctor, he or she often gets misdiagnosed. My mission is to re-educate conventional medicine about the proper treatment of empaths so they can get the care and understanding that they deserve. Now, I'm what's called an empathic therapist, and what I do is I combine traditional medicine and all my 14 years of medical training, all that very vital, important information, with intuition. And so I listen as a traditional therapist to why somebody came into me, but I also am able to tune in with my intuition and my empathy with what's going on in a patient. And this gives me extra added information about the patient that is so helpful to them, and it saves an enormous amount of time. Now, as I discussed previously, there are two basic kinds of empaths, the physical empath and the emotional empath. The physical empath, which is what I would like to discuss now, is someone who feels mainly the physical manifestations of someone else's energy. For instance, a friend of yours has chest pain or vertigo, and you start feeling it too. That's typically what an empath does. Or your friend has a migraine, and you suddenly start feeling throbbing in your own head. Then, the other type of empath, the emotional empath, is mainly a sponge for other people's emotions. For instance, an emotional empath can sit next to a depressed person in a funny movie, and the empath can walk out depressed too. This is a result of their energy fields overlapping during the movie, because during movies, people sit so closely to each other that you can feel each other's energy field. Emotional empaths can sense what someone is feeling, even when they don't outwardly express it. But this kind of empathy can feel overwhelming. One emotional empath told me, an hour with an extremely negative or angry person can take me a day to recuperate. Or you can be a combination of both the physical and emotional empath. Notice as we go on in the discussion which type of empath you are and what you relate to the most. The goal for empaths is to lead more healthy, comfortable lives and to learn how to stop absorbing other people's negative energy. It is not a good or healthy thing for an empath to absorb someone else's energy, though it's something that they do instinctively and naturally. Therefore, an empath must learn to center and protect themselves. These are usually learned skills, and people have a hard time figuring them out by themselves. That's why guidance is so important. In this section, we will go through many techniques to stop taking on other people's stress and illness. Now, as an empath myself, I speak in front of large groups, and so it's very important for me to ground and center myself so I don't take on the pain and the suffering that is inherent in all human beings, and especially in large groups. And so, in my own life, I use the tools that I'll be describing to you, and they work incredibly. For an empath to stay in good health, it's important to know if you are a physical empath or an emotional empath, or you may be a little or a lot of both. Knowing this allows you to take steps towards self-care. Here are two simple self-assessments to consider. Am I a physical empath? Ask yourself these questions. Have I ever sat next to someone in pain and started feeling it too? Do I get physically ill in crowds? Have I been called a hypochondriac, but my symptoms are real? Do I react to other people's stress by developing a physical symptom in my own body? Do I get energized by some people and sapped by others? Do I frequently go to doctors but don't get treatments that help? Am I chronically fatigued or have many unexplained mystery ailments? Do I often feel exhausted by crowds and the world in general and prefer staying home? Here's how to interpret the self-assessment. 1 to 2 yeses indicate that you are partially a physical empath. 3 to 4 yeses indicate you are a moderate physical empath. And 5 to 7 yeses indicate you are definitely a physical empath. And what that means is that you tend to absorb the physical symptoms of other people into your own body. That is an important piece of information to know about yourself. And we'll talk about strategies to deal with that. Now, the second self-assessment is to determine, am I an emotional empath? And here are some questions to consider. Do I catch other people's emotions? Emotions like fear, anger, are energies, and you can catch them from people. Do I get emotional hangovers after an argument or conflict? Do I feel depressed or anxious in crowds? Can I intuit other people's feelings, even if they are unexpressed? Is it hard to tell other people's emotions from my own? Do I care so much about others I neglect my own needs? Do I overeat to cope with difficult people or emotional stress? Here's how to interpret this self-assessment. 1 to 2 yeses indicate that you are partially an emotional empath. 3 to 4 yeses indicate that you are a moderate emotional empath. And 5 and above yeses indicate that you are definitely an emotional empath. This is important information for you to know. Discovering that you are a physical and/or emotional empath is important knowledge about yourself so you know how to cope with these energies. You are not crazy or a hypochondriac. You are not imagining things, though your doctor might treat you like you are. You are a sensitive person with a gift you must develop and successfully manage. To help you manage this, now let's go on to the concept of empathic illnesses and how to stop absorbing other people's symptoms and stress. I think that's the most popular topic amongst my empath patients is how to do this. How do I tell if someone's emotions are mine or another's, and how do I stop absorbing their stress? Very key to becoming an empath and being a happy, contented, energized empath. I have coined the term empathic illness to mean illnesses in which you manifest symptoms that are not your own. Now, I want you to take a moment to really absorb that. Yes, this is possible. You can absorb symptoms that are not your own, but you feel them as your own. It's possible, though conventional medicine hasn't made the paradigm shift to understand this since they don't believe in the reality of subtle energies. This is a huge travesty for empaths since they notoriously get misdiagnosed because of this omission. Many patients have come to me labeled agoraphobic, suffering terribly, or with panic disorder, or with chronic depression, fatigue, pain, or mystery symptoms. They may or may not respond to conventional treatments such as medication or psychotherapy. In extreme cases, empathic illnesses can make people housebound and chronically ill and so exhausted they can't function. Empaths are also prone to adrenal fatigue because they become so exhausted and depleted from absorbing all the random energies in the world. All this changes when empaths learn the techniques I'll discuss. When I took a close history of my empath patients, I found that they were people whose bodies are so porous they absorb the symptoms of others. I relate to this phenomena because I am both a physical and emotional empath. As a child, I could get on the bus and start feeling the pain of the person beside me. One time I went in feeling fine and walked out with a terrible back pain that I'm sure came from the man next to me. Or I'll go into shopping centers feeling perfectly fine and leave with a headache or exhausted or some form of anxiety or depression I certainly didn't have before. Similarly, one patient told me about herself. An hour with an extremely negative or depressed person can take me such a long time to recover from. It's hard to get emotions to leave my body. It takes a while, like recovering from anesthesia. And to me, that's really powerful because the emotions get stuck in the body and they can feel like toxicity that you can't clear. Empathic symptoms are extremely sensitive to weather and phases of the moon as well. Sometimes the full moon can make empaths agitated, restless, and more sensitive than they even are normally, with more symptoms, and the new moon can calm them. Empaths are incredibly connected to nature, and so the phases of moon and the tides and the weather affects an empath's body. One empath told me that she was very sensitive to weather and also barometric pressure. As the pressure goes up, she gets migraines. Empaths are also prone to seasonal affective disorder, depression that occurs in the darker seasons of the year. Both physical and emotional empaths do not have the defenses that others have to screen things out. As a psychiatrist, knowing this significantly changed how I treated these patients. My job became teaching them to center and protect themselves, to set healthy boundaries, and let go of energy they picked up from others. Sometimes an illness can be totally empathic, but more often the sensitivities of an empath can aggravate illnesses you might already have. Some common empathic-related illnesses include chronic fatigue, irritable bowel syndrome, fibromyalgia, chronic anxiety and depression, which are often treated incorrectly by conventional medicine with antidepressants or anti-anxiety meds. I want to emphasize this. These are not the right treatment for empathic symptoms. As we'll discuss later, substance abuse is also related to empathic overload in many cases and an inability to ground oneself in the world. The correct interventions and techniques for all these conditions is to train empaths how to stop absorbing the energy and stress of others. This is key for an empath to experience vibrant health without always fighting exhaustion. Now, I just want to make a special note about medications and empaths because this is a very sensitive topic in my practice. I've observed that empaths in general require much less medication than other people. For instance, if they're on antidepressants or other medications, they don't need as much in order to feel the beneficial effects. Many of my empath patients who do require going on antidepressants require a sliver of the normal dosage. A traditional physician would say that this is a placebo response, but I disagree. I feel that empaths are responding to smaller doses of medication, whereas larger doses of medication would bowl them over and they couldn't barely tolerate it because of side effects. Though conventional medicine would call this the placebo effect, I do not believe this. Empaths frequently just need less medication and respond more sensitively than others do. Now, the big question is, how do you know if you have an empathic illness or symptom? One way to test this out is when you get away from the suspected person and your symptoms disappear, most likely you are picking up their energy. So if you feel a symptom, let's say at a party, and you're talking to someone, politely excuse yourself, and then stand at least 20 feet away from them to see if you feel better. That's a giveaway that you're picking up something from someone else. Another piece of evidence that you're having an empathic symptom is if you've tried various treatment options and only getting partial or no success. Another piece of evidence is that you feel better after practicing the following techniques that I'll discuss. If so, it's likely that some or all of your symptoms are related to being an empath. Here are some general rules for what makes empathic symptoms better and worse. Let's start with what makes empathic symptoms better. And these are tried and true. I use them all the time. Alone time, quiet, meditation, being out in nature, being in water, near water, or drinking water, exercise or energy movements like Tai Chi. Also in personal relationships, learning how to set clear limits and boundaries, and being around positive people and situations. Then most important, I think of all of those, is showing yourself self-compassion in all situations. Sometimes you've just tried your hardest, and even if you failed, it's always an occasion to be self-compassionate with yourself. I found that empaths tend to beat themselves up a lot, and part of my work with my empath patients is to teach them self-compassion. Now, what makes empathic symptoms worse? Here are some elements. Rushing, freeways, crowds, loud environments, low blood sugar, overstimulation in social situations, and by this I mean staying too long. Also being stuck in a car with a toxic person, that amplifies the negative energy. Fatigue and toxic people in general make empathic symptoms worse. So if you go in and you have a symptom and you notice that your symptom is worse around, let's say, a narcissistic energy vampire, which we'll talk about later on, or a passive-aggressive energy vampire, which we'll talk about, notice that this is your empathic symptom flaring up around toxic people. If you have negative thoughts about yourself, this will make your empathic symptoms worse. The mind-body connection is very, very powerful, and if you're walking around beating yourself up or having negative thoughts, that will aggravate your symptoms. Your thoughts make a difference. That's why it's so important to cultivate positive self-talk and tell yourself you are beautiful, you are healthy, you are going to heal. There is always hope. And begin to replace the negative thoughts with the positive thinking.
Relief is the cure that all medicine is looking for. Relief is the cure instead of trying to sort out every thought in the world or every thought you've ever thought or all the thoughts of the people in a room or all of the thoughts of the people in your bus or all of the thoughts of the people in your community or in your political party, or in your church, or in the world, instead of trying to sort out all those thoughts, which just makes you crazy, you can feel what your inner being knows about everything. You can feel what you have become. Reach for that feeling and you move in the direction of it. You feel the ease of your body. And do you know, in the moment that you let go of those oars, the majority of the resistance subsides, even though it might take you a while to float to the manifestation of what you want. In the moment you let go of those oars, the majority of the illness, if there is illness in your body, subsides. We're not kidding you. You don't even have to find the thought that is causing the resistance. You just have to find a thought that isn't causing resistance. You just have to reach for a thought of relief. You don't have to sort it all out. You don't have to go back and retrace your steps through it and figure out which way you went wrong. Relief is the cure that all medicine is looking for. And when you reach for that feeling and you move in the direction of it, you feel the ease of your body. And do you know, in the moment that you let go of those oars, the majority of the resistance subsides, even though it might take you a while to float to the manifestation of what you want. In the moment you let go of those oars, the majority of the illness, if there is illness in your body, subsides. We're not kidding you. the way of who you really are. When you desire something and you don't believe it, or you don't see a way for it to be, when you want something but you doubt it, those desires are not feeling so fresh and sweet to you, are they? But a desire that is not muted by your doubt, a desire that is carried on the stream of your knowledge of who you are, and your expectation of things always working out for you, a desire that is fostered in that environment is, oh, such a sweet desire, yes? A desire that is not muted by your doubt, a desire that is carried on the stream of your knowledge of who you are and your expectation of things always working out for you, a desire that is fostered in that environment is, oh, such a sweet desire. Yes, forward into this physical experience. A desire that is carried on the stream of your knowledge of who you are and your expectation of things always working out for you. A desire that is fostered in that environment is, oh, such a sweet desire. Yes. A desire that is fostered in that environment is, oh, such a sweet desire, yes? If only you could maintain your innocence of well-being and your true understanding that the entire universe works in concert to assist you. You are source energy in these physical bodies, you know that? You are source energy that has projected a part of itself forward into this physical experience. But you did not project all of you into this physical experience, just an idea of you. You are source energy. And as you more deliberately care about the way you feel, then you're going to begin to understand that your desires can feel as sweet and intoxicating and compelling as they did the day you were born. And as you more deliberately care about the way you feel, then you're going to begin to understand that your desires can feel as sweet and intoxicating and compelling as they did the day you were born. If only you could maintain your innocence of well-being. You are source energy. You are source energy that has projected a part of itself forward into this physical experience. But you did not project all of you into this physical experience. Just an idea of you. In other words, who you really are, the larger part of you, is non-physical energy. And that larger part of you is still and will eternally be starry-eyed. And as you more deliberately care about the way you feel, then you're going to begin to understand that your desires can feel as sweet and intoxicating and compelling as they did the day you were born. You are source energy in these physical bodies, you know that? You are source energy that has projected a part of itself forward into this physical experience. In other words, who you really are, the larger part of you, is non-physical energy. And that larger part of you is still and will eternally be starry-eyed.
Friday at the stroke of midnight, ride the broomstick with Fallen Woman, a weekly psychic fusion and magical foray, stirring up the cauldron at Radio Free Brooklyn.